Probably at least half the crowd is here this morning because you're trying to figure out how I got my shoes and socks on last week, aren't you? Huh? If you were with us. Well, I want to answer your question today. For those of you who weren't here or don't care about my shoes and socks, here's how all this fits together, okay? I want to read a verse of Scripture where we would be as we go through 1 Peter. We would be this morning at 1 Peter 3:9. And Peter says there, "Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing." That verse is in my head as I was sitting there on the side of the bed trying to put on my shoes and socks, okay? Also in my head, I can multitask, you see, okay? Yeah. Last Sunday morning at 6:15, I said to Andy in our staff meeting lasts for as long as it takes to go from here to the back door, because he's headed out that way and I'm headed out that way. We don't have a staff, for those of you who don't know that, okay? So we don't need staff meetings. But I just said to him, next week is Christmas Eve. Were you thinking about anything special or something like that? He said, well, no, okay. And I said, okay, well, that was in my mind. It's Christmas Eve, you know, because that's in my mind. This verse out of 1 Peter is in my mind. And so as I'm sitting there putting my socks on, it just starts flooding my mind. And so I had to make a mad dash to my study, which is on the other side of the house. And I sat down, and I couldn't type fast enough to keep up with what I want to share with you this morning. Okay? So we're going to bring Christmas to 1 Peter, or 1 Peter to Christmas, however you want to think about it. That's where we're going today. 1 Peter 3:9, Peter commands us to bless those who do evil to us and not return the evil they do to us by doing evil to them. That's what he's saying there. And he says this, there are two reasons for this. First of all, because that's what you are called to. We are to bless those who do evil to us instead of returning evil to those who do evil to us, because that is what we are called to. And also, he says, the second reason is that we will obtain a blessing when we bless instead of returning the evil to the person who does evil to us. Now that's what Peter says. The connection between 1 Peter 3:9 and Christmas, the advent of Jesus Christ, is in that one word that Peter used, blessing. And that's how we're going to tie these two together this morning. Now, tomorrow is December 25th, Christmas Day. It won't be the same day because of the time zones and that kind of thing, but the world celebrates, those who do, Christmas on December 25th. It's the day that we celebrate Jesus Christ coming, becoming flesh, the only begotten Son of God. But most of you know that December 25th is not the literal calendar date on which Jesus was born. Now, you can try as I did to find out what that day is, but nobody knows. The best that I could get was somewhere maybe September or October, and that just happened to be because of there was grass for the sheep to eat where the shepherds were, okay? And somewhere 4 BC to 6 BC, but Herod died in 4 BC, so they kind of leaned more to 5 BC to 6 BC. Bottom line is, we don't know. It's not December 25th. But we don't know the day. And I think God did that on purpose. Because He knew us. And if we knew the day and the place and the time, we would do something weird with it that took away from the purpose of it. And the purpose was that Jesus Christ, very God, would come and be born and live a sinless life and die on a cross for the sins of those who would believe, and then be raised the third day and ascend to heaven after 40 days to be with His Father. So Christmas is about Jesus coming. The Word becoming flesh, John says. Born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Live a sinless life, and then around 33 A.D., depending on which way you go with the birth, He would die on the cross. Giving His life, not having His life taken on a Roman cross. So I want you to think with me this morning of some of those who were the first ones to see the Son of God. Those that were there. Whenever there was, they were there. And the blessing, back to 1 Peter 3:9, the blessing that they received as they were there when Jesus was born. You see, I don't know if you've thought about this, but God controls blessing. You ever thought about that? You know, all of us, I said, how many of you want to be blessed? Our hands would all go up. Okay? All right? So, if it's unanimous that we all want to be blessed, where do you get the blessing? Blessing, in whatever form it is, comes from God. Now, that blessing may come from God through a person, or that blessing may come from God through a circumstance or whatever, but God's the originator of the blessing. And so, this morning, I want us to focus on those people who were there and the that they received. This is a connection, if you think about it, blessing, between God's sovereignty, God's relationship with whomever, obedience of that person, because God does not bless disobedience, and then the blessing that flows. There's a conduit. There's a conduit that has to fit in there. Peter shared with us that conduit that related to people doing evil to us and us not doing evil to them, but to bless them, and by that we would obtain a blessing. All right? So there's a connection here. So the first person that came to mind was Joseph. Joseph was there, okay? In the manger area, not a room, somewhere outside. We don't know all the, you know, it's not what we usually think from the nativity scenes, okay? It was pretty rough delivery room, just to say the least. But Joseph was there. Joseph, as you know, was Jesus' stepdad. There is no genetic connection between Joseph and Jesus. Joseph is not the father of Jesus. All right? But it's important, and Joseph was a strategic person, because Joseph was of the house of David. That becomes important now. Because Jesus was going to be born of the house of David. And the lineage went through the father. So Jesus' stepdad needed to be of the house of David. Son of David. That idea had to come through. So the fact that Joseph was involved, and the fact that he was of the house of David becomes an important issue. He is engaged, our language, not theirs necessarily. He was engaged to a young girl, teenager, named Mary. Mary was a virgin. Mary, we're going to find out here in just a minute, was the one chosen by God for the very express purpose of giving birth to His Son who became flesh. Mary is that person. She is a virgin. She had never known relations with any man. And she would carry Jesus in her womb, and she would give birth to Jesus on the night that we are focusing on, that night, Christmas. Joseph, when he was made aware of this issue, this situation, I guess life was going pretty good for him. He's, you know, looking forward to getting married, no doubt, down the road there somewhere. The Jewish traditions are different, so don't put it into our frame of thinking and all. But he was informed, and how that happened is a little bit sketchy, but Mary was pregnant, and he found out about it. And so, number one, he faces a crisis because your wife can't be pregnant before you're married. And I wish it was more of an issue today than it is, but in this time, this is big-time taboo no-no, all right? And so he has a crisis, and that then, he is faced with a necessary decision to divorce Mary, okay? Because she's been unfaithful to him. And he did that, the Scripture says, because he was thinking of her. He didn't want to bring shame to her. So that is what Joseph is facing. The woman that he's engaged to be married to is pregnant. And he's not the father. Then the blessing began. In the midst of his crisis moment, the blessing began. And the blessing was brought to him, communicated to him in a dream, as an angel appeared to him. I think that was probably Gabriel. We won't part fellowship over that, okay? It's not as specific as Gabriel who appeared to Mary a little bit later, all right? But basically the angel told him, Joseph, you don't have a problem. You know, one of the most blessings that we can get is when God tells us that what we think is a problem in our life isn't a problem. And He's going to show us how it's not a problem. That's almost as good as getting rid of the problem. And so, the angel tells him, I'm summarizing here, Joseph, you don't have a problem. Your wife-to-be is pregnant. The problem that you have in your mind is true. She is pregnant, but you don't have a problem. No man is responsible for her pregnancy. The Holy Spirit is responsible. Now put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a minute. If you want to talk about spinning around looking for a place to sit down, he doesn't have a... I mean, there's stuff put on the table that he's never even thought of. But, you see, it doesn't have to make sense to Joseph. Because it is God's sovereign will that this happen exactly the way it is happening. Joseph is not a decision maker. He is just a participant according to the will of God for him to be a participant. Does that make sense? All right. Now, Mary's going to have a baby. The baby's going to be a boy. All of this is laid out. And this was before the day of ultrasound. So I thought that's a miracle in and of itself. Okay? And this baby boy is going to save his people, his Jewish heritage, race, however you want to say it, is going to save his people from their sins. Do you see where this thing just keeps building for Joseph? I mean, this is just, he can't get his mind around all of this. because there are things that he's not even, you know, connected to. But really he was, depending on if he did his Bible study, which I trust he did, okay, because he seems to be a devout man, a good man. He could have just gone over to Isaiah 7 and checked it out. Because God had already told anybody that would read the prophet Isaiah in what we know as chapter 7, they didn't have chapter 7, this is exactly what's going to happen. And so Joseph was blessed. And he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to. He didn't divorce his wife. He did what God told him to do through the angel, not what his culture expected him to do. Now, wear that one home with you today. Is what you do in your everyday life, what your culture expects you to do, or what the Lord commands you to do? Because Joseph chose to do what the Lord commanded him to rather than what the culture expected him to, he was a blessed man. Next we come to Mary, of course, the pregnant teenager, engaged to marry Joseph. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she gave birth to Jesus. It's at this point that my week went flippo. Had the Lord told me on the bedside with the socks being put on where I was going to be about Tuesday or Wednesday of last week, I probably would have just put my socks and shoes on and my britches, however you want to get them on, there's fine with me, and gone on to something different. Because this is where I hit the wall. All right? And lest you think you have the answer today, okay, you're fighting against a whole lot of very, very intelligent people who just do this, okay? Was Mary a surrogate mother? Now, by that I mean, I think sort of on that, okay, that she carried a baby, but she wasn't carrying the baby for another mother. That would be the technical definition of a surrogate mother. Or was she a reciprocal mother? Meaning there was an embryo in her womb that she did not pass on DNA, etc., to that child. Or C, I don't know what C is. All right? It's above my pay grade for sure. Now, I'm sorry, parents, to do this to you on Christmas, because you're going to have a bunch of questions when you get home, and I'm going to say, go for it, Mom and Dad. Okay? All right. She's engaged to get married to Joseph. Gabriel, one of three angels that are named in Scripture, Michael, the warrior angel, and Luke, for the fallen angel, are the other two. All the other angels for ours don't have names. At least we're not told what they are. But Gabriel came to Mary in the proximity that the angel appeared in the dream to Joseph. And Gabriel said to Mary, when he came to her, he said three things up front. First of all, he said greetings. Okay? And he said to her then, you are favored, and the Lord is with you. And this greeting troubles Mary. Okay? It troubled us. The angel would trouble me. He didn't have to say anything. Okay? But he brings this greeting. Greetings, you are favored, the Lord is with you. And these three things, it says, greatly trouble Mary. What's going on? First of all, the angel, but next, what he said. You are favored, the Lord is with you. Now that's huge. That's huge. And then Gabriel said eight things to Mary, because he needed to say the fourth thing from the first three, and the fourth thing he said was, don't be afraid. That would be necessary, I think. Because here's an angel, this is all settling in, okay? And he sees, I don't know if she's getting, I don't know what's going on, but he says to her, don't be afraid. You have found favor, second time, you have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. The fifth thing out of the second day. When he, the child, is born, his name will be Jesus. Now, Joseph was told that his name would be Emmanuel, okay? But his name is to be Jesus. You deal with that if you want to, okay? Gabriel told Mary, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. Now, we find out who the Father is. Gabriel tells Mary. He will be the Son of the Most High, and that may not mean much to us in 2017, but to them, they knew who this was. The Son of the Most High is God. He is the Son of God, is what Mary's being told. He will be given the throne of David by the Lord God. So to have the throne of David, he's going to have to, if they follow the protocol of their day, his father is going to have to be in the lineage of David, which, bingo, Joseph is. All right, so he quote-unquote qualifies. He didn't have to qualify for God. God did it anyway, and the rest of it is for our purposes, I guess, as much as anything. I don't know. But he will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be given the throne of David by the Lord God. He will reign over the house of Jacob. Now that's important, because Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob is chosen as the father of the lineage that would flow to Jesus, not Esau. If you go very far, you're going to bump into some people of the Muslim religion who will buy in with just about everything we kind of buy into, except it's Esau. It's Esau who is the father of Jesus, lineage-wise. You get it? The Word of God clearly says that he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom, and we know his kingdom to be the literal rule and reign of Jesus Christ over the lives of people, his kingdom will never end. All right, so that's what Mary is told. Now, after this earth-shattering information, Mary had a comparatively small question. How? Okay? She believes everything the angel... Would you believe if Gabriel told you? I'd believe him. I mean, I'm not going to challenge, you know, an angel of the Lord, especially an archangel. And so Mary says, how? How will this be since I'm a virgin? Back to Joseph's problem. And she's not being argumentative. She's not doubting. She's just probably curious as much as anything. How's this going to happen? And Gabriel tells her, Mary, the Holy Spirit will take care of the details. We need to go where Mary is. All of those things that we want to know. Big things, little things, all... If we could come to the same place that Mary is and know that because we are in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit who lives within us is going to take care of the details. We go to sleep at night, trust in God, and be done with it. Not a bad sermon, Mary. Not a bad sermon at all. You see, because Jesus, who is and has always been, will become flesh and be born of a woman, and that woman, Mary, is you. Jesus didn't come to be that night when he was born to Mary. He has always been. He will always be. He is becoming flesh during what's going on in, as we look at the experiences of Joseph and Mary. Basically, what Gabriel is telling Mary is you nor any other person can be involved in who he is, because he will be born holy and he is the Son of God. Human beings, flesh and blood, cannot pull that one off. Number one, we cannot make anyone holy in and of ourselves. And Mary, here's one of those problems I was bumping into about this time. Mary, contrary to the Roman Catholicism, is not holy in and of herself. She was born, like everybody, every other human being is born, with that inherited nature of Adam. She's born with a sinful nature. She had a sinful nature at birth. Now that's where I'm really banging around on this problem area, okay? If Mary contributed the DNA to Jesus, then Jesus would inherit a sinful nature. Alright? Now you're getting this just on the fly, okay? I'm living with this stuff, okay? And I couldn't find anybody that could give you a definitive answer. They were all over the place, you know. The Catholics had it figured out. Here's what happened, the Immaculate Conception, that kind of thing. And then it was just banging around everywhere. I found this one guy that had gone into the intricacies of biochemistry and the mitochondria and all this stuff, and he had an answer. Okay? Folks, I don't know. I don't know. And my eldest son, I even asked him. All right? And I don't know of a better thinker that I've ever met than Adam Wheeler. And so, over our Christmas celebration, I said, son, I got a question for you. Hey, dads, look forward to the day when you can sit down with your son and you can ask him, trusting him, because he knows more than you know. I sat there and I thought, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Neat time. Okay, but anyway. And he said, I don't know. I said, you don't understand. I said, here in a day or two, I said, there's going to be several people sitting in a room, and I just can't run over that. I'm 67 years old, and for those 67 years, everybody's always ran over this. Nobody ever stopped. Nobody ever stopped. And then Adam said something that I still, it was way over my head. He said, Dad, it's very possible for three things to be true and not contradict each other. Now, you figure that one out. I haven't yet, okay? I have to go back. I don't know. I don't know. I know that Jesus Christ, born of Mary, the Son of God, the very Son of God, is all man and all God. Now, how God got him to that place, I don't know. But he was born without sin. He never sinned, because he had to be the sinless sacrifice that would die for the sin of the world. I also know that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. There's so many things coming together here to get your hands around this. It's tough. And I appreciate that because I've been there. While we're discussing your pregnancy, Mary, Gabriel speaking here, while we're discussing your pregnancy, Elizabeth, your relative, is 6 months pregnant herself. Yes, the same Elizabeth who's been unable to have children during her whole life, she's 6 months pregnant, and she's going to have a boy also. What a day Mary had. I mean, what an experience. So Mary was blessed because she believed what God told her through Gabriel. She no doubt had 100 questions. Gabriel recognized this up front. He said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You found favor with God. There's not a thing you can do about it. He's running this show. He always runs this show. And here's the way it's going to fold out in your life." And so Mary believed God. And because she believed God, she is blessed among women. Because she will give birth. And her statement of faith, not for salvation, okay, but her statement of faith was, "Let it be according to your word." Now, folks, if you and I can get to the place where Mary was, when God reveals His will to us, if that's our response, there's a blessing on the way. Because as unbelievable as this had to be, let it be according to your word. She's not worried about what people would think. She's not worried about what people would say. She's not even worried about what Joseph's going to have to say about all this, because I'm not sure that she knows that Joseph knows what he knows. She's at perfect peace. And folks, when the blessings of God come to us as promised, with it, God is going to bring peace to us as well. Now, there's some others. I know you have plans, probably going home and have a nice meal and unwrap presents. I don't want to get in the way of that too much, okay? But there's a few others, and we'll be quick here. And we don't really have the same amount of time, I guess, to say as much as we said about these, but there's so many other people. There's the shepherds that Andy read about a while ago. The blessings of the shepherds. These are some guys out there doing a job nobody else wants to do. They are at, in our terminology, the dregs of society. They're hired hands looking after somebody else's sheep. They don't own the sheep. They smell. They don't get to come in for a shower every night. It's a dirty, thankless, poorly paid job. But the shepherds, who did not earn or deserve the attention they're going to get that night, would be blessed with a personal invitation to go and see the Son of God. God always has a soft place in His heart for the humble and those who, from our estimation, don't have much in this world. It's a lot easier for a humble, broken person to believe God and receive the blessings of God than it is a proud, wealthy person who is not going to come to God. Jesus said it's easier for camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to believe. So they were blessed with a personal invitation to see the Son of God. The wise men. You want to talk about some guys that have got some bad script. These are the guys, okay? The Christmas plays and Christmas pageants and all that. First of all, there wasn't necessarily three wise men. All right? Okay? And they traveled probably in a caravan. You did in that day because you had to. It was dangerous places out there. And they traveled from somewhere to the east of what is present-day Iraq, or maybe even beyond that. And they're not kings. They were probably priests or court advisors like Joseph or Daniel, maybe, okay? You think it wasn't Joseph and Daniel. Don't, okay? But like Joseph and Daniel had those high places and were advised, probably those kind of guys, okay? But not kings. They were men who obviously studied the stars. And they were traveling to find someone born in Bethlehem who was a king, it says, because they had seen his star. Now you want to talk about act of faith. That is an act of faith. I don't know the going price for getting a caravan together and marching across the Iraqi desert, but it can't be cheap. And just because of what they saw, they cashed it all in, folks, and went to find Jesus. They're going to arrive many months later. They didn't make it to the manger that night. Because if you go and read in Matthew 2:11, it says they went into the house. They went into the house. So they didn't go to the manger. They didn't get there that night. Some have estimated it could have been a year or more later that they show up. But the point is, they went. And when they got there, they went for the purpose of their going, and that was to worship the king. They don't know all of the details, but somehow they understood what this was all about. And when they got there, there is a baby to young child, and he becomes the object of their worship. Now, that is faith. That is faith. And they were blessed because they had the privilege, as far as I know, maybe Anna might be an exception, to be the first to worship God's Son. Something went on with Simeon and Anna 8 days after Jesus was born there at the temple, okay? But clearly they are some of the first people to worship Him and give gifts to the King of the Jews. Quickly, then there is Simeon. Simeon, who would be blessed to see the Messiah after waiting his whole life in the temple. He's an old man. And every day, this guy gets up. Will I get to see God's Messiah today, or will I die today and not get to see Him? And 8 days after Jesus was born, when He was brought to the temple to offer the sacrifice of the pigeons and turtle doves or whatever they were, okay? And for the purification rites, etc., by the law, and for Jesus to be circumcised. Simeon got to see Jesus. And he is so blessed, he said, now I can die. The purpose of my life has been fulfilled. Now I can die. He was blessed because of his faithfulness and his anticipation and looking for, longing for, he got to see Jesus. There's some folks that missed a blessing. We mentioned that blessing flows from God. He's the originator of the blessing. One of those folks is the innkeeper. Or the person who didn't have room for them a room for them. He missed a blessing because he focused more on his business than the Christ of God who could have been born due to his graciousness that night in a room instead of a manger. He missed a blessing. Of course, there's Herod who also missed a blessing because he was so focused on himself that he even tried to kill Jesus and didn't even know who Jesus was. So he just goes out and kills every baby boy 2 years of age and younger. I don't know who he is, but you guys go out there and you find all the baby boys that are 2 years and younger and kill them all. And he did. Had them killed. Do I need to emphasize the fact that Herod was not blessed and all of that? In fact, he's going to die quickly. History tells us he died in 4 BC. Then there's John the Baptist, who was blessed. I should have moved him up the list a little bit, I guess. John the Baptist, who was blessed, he met Jesus before either one of them was born. Now try that one on. Mary went to visit Elizabeth. And as Mary, I guess, you know, instead of doorbells, they didn't have those in those days, they called out or something like that. And when Mary called out to Elizabeth, John the Baptist leaped in Elizabeth's womb. He's 6 months old. I don't know what Jesus and John the Baptist talked about that day. But I'm telling you, there's some communication going on there. John the Baptist not only met Jesus before he was born, but Jesus later in his life, toward the end of his life, is going to call John the Baptist the greatest man ever born of woman. Back to my problem hitting the wall I mentioned to you a while ago. John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born of woman. Jesus was born of a woman. So, okay? John would be blessed to baptize Jesus. John the Baptist would be blessed to prepare the way for Jesus by preaching repentance and baptizing in the Jordan. And there were others. We don't have time except for this question. What about you? Have you been blessed? Back to 1 Peter 3:9. Have you been blessed? For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Have you been blessed? Called to have, if we go back to verse 8 of 1 Peter 3, called to have the mind of Christ that we looked at last week, that unity of mind. Remember? The only way to have unity of mind in the body of Christ is for everyone to have the mind of Christ. Because if someone doesn't have the mind of Christ, they are going to cause disunity and discord. You with me? Therefore, you can obtain the blessing that Peter is talking about as you are called to have the mind of Christ, which is common among all who are born again to a living hope. His terminology. Called to replicate the Lord Jesus' life is what Peter fleshes out there. Because Jesus is not going to repay evil for evil. He's a babe in a manger in our focus this morning, but he's going to become a 33-year-old man who is beaten beyond recognition and hung on a cross and will die there on Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He did not repay evil for evil, even though he was chided by that thief to do so. If you're the Son of God, come down off that cross and get us down in the process. He didn't. And that example that Peter gave us, that mind of Christ, that unity of mind, is what will allow us not to repay evil for evil, but rather to replicate the Lord Jesus. I know most of you here today, some I don't know, but based on those that I do know, I know that there are many people in this room who have the mind of Christ. One reason is that I have worked alongside of you and you alongside of me, some of you for going on 30 years almost. And I know that you have the mind of Christ. Others of you, I don't know as well or at all. So I would have to pose that question to those of you who may be here every week and still don't have the mind of Christ. And those of you who may be here for the first time who may not have the mind of Christ that Peter has talked about. That Paul emphasized, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. That's how we got to where that unity of mind last week. You had to be there. You can go online and listen to it if you want to. But there are many people here, who have that unity of mind because you are in Christ Jesus. My question, are you one of the many? That's the question. Are you one of the many? You see, God wants to bless by giving you the result of His only begotten Son who was born and what we've looked at this morning, who will go to a cross and die for the sins of those who believe. He wants that blessing, and He wants to pour out that blessing by introducing you to His Son, who will take away your sins and adopt you as His heir. God's all about blessing. But He doesn't bless disobedience. He never has, and He won't start with you or me. His blessing is going to flow from His sovereignty through relationship, resulting in obedience. And the blessing is at the end of the line. He doesn't just go out and just start pouring you out blessings regardless of who you are or what you do. Okay? I pray as we pause for a moment in this Christmas time, if you haven't, that you will deal with this issue of God blessing you. First with salvation, and then as you walk in that, what we call sanctification, that being made holy. Because you see, the blessing relates to that sanctifying process. Because He's not going to bless disobedience. I pray you'll at least pause and see if the blessings of God are the priority for your day. Will you pray with me? Lord, there's so much that we don't understand. There's so much that we can't understand. There's so much that you may tell us someday, and so much that we won't even care about someday that we think we care about today. Lord, I would pray for us today that we would have the heart of Mary. Let it be as you told me it's going to be. It's basically what she said. Total faith, total trust, not caring about what anybody's going to think or say. not care about the expectations of her culture. She just said, yes, Lord. Yes. I pray that we would have that same heart as we move into a new year here in a few days. We would just be people who live and breathe and have our being with a yes, Lord mentality and practice. To you be the glory, and thank you that you sent your only Son. In Jesus' name.